KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, we have partly to mostly sunny skies here in the Nishna Valley, and 64 degrees our temperature here this morning. We look for partly cloudy skies today with southeast winds at 10 to 15 and a high of 87. Tonight, increasing clouds late and a low of 65. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. The Nanaue Valley and Kam school boards announced on Friday the hiring of a new shared district superintendent. Feedback from over 70 stakeholders was considered in closed session after the formal interviews on Thursday, June 6th. Feedback about all three final candidates was overall positive and provided clarity that Mr. Paul Cron had the skills and experience that are needed in the districts at this time. Cron was pleased to accept the position, saying, "I am looking forward to learning more about the communities, and I am excited about all the positive things that were shared with me through this interview process." He will transition with current superintendent Dr. Casey Burlaw between now and officially starting his contract on July 1st. Paul Cron currently serves as the shared superintendent between the East Mills and Essex school districts. He has served in this role for the last 5 years. Prior, he served the East Mills district as the high school principal and activities director from 2010 to 2013. He also served as the assistant high school principal and AD in Atlantic and Walnut High School principal prior to that. His leadership efforts have expanded vocational opportunities for students, improved the financial conditions of both districts, and also included multiple facilities improvements. He's also an advocate through the Rural School Advocates of Iowa as the Southwest Iowa District Representative. Cron has a Bachelor of Science degree from Mount Mercy College. He earned a Master's degree in Educational Leadership from Drake University in 2007. His superintendent licensure was issued from Drake as well after completion of his specialist degree in Educational Leadership. In his application, Cron said, "Every day I'm thinking of ways to make the educational process better for all students. This commitment is part of who I am, and I know of only one way to work in education. Since education is all about people, the students, staff, and community, I will do what it takes to make the system successful for student achievement." Paul and his wife Brenda have 5 children, Kelsey, Kendra, Cassidy, Carson, and Keegan. In his free time, he enjoys spending time with his family, construction, farming, and being in the outdoors. Governor Kim Reynolds issued a disaster proclamation on Friday for Fremont County in response to severe weather beginning May 17th and continuing. The governor's proclamation allows state resources to be utilized to respond to and recover from the effects of severe weather and activates Iowa Individual Assistance Grant Program for qualifying residents, along with the Disaster Case Management Program for Fremont County. You can find links to those resources on the same story on our news page at KJN.com. High water in the Missouri River has resulted in the U.S. Coast Guard and Army Corps of Engineers closing the river to all boat traffic. Woody Gottberg has this report.
The Missouri River is closed to all navigation traffic from St. Louis to just north of Sioux City. The agency say that vessel traffic may cause damage to or over topping of flood levees. There's also a hazard from drifting objects in the high water. The river will be closed indefinitely until the level recedes. That is not expected to happen for weeks, as releases from Yankton's Gammons Point Dam into the Missouri River will continue at 75,000 cubic feet per second through at least the end of June. Woody Gottberg, Radio Iowa, Sioux City.
In other news, the Atlantic Police Department reports 2 Atlantic men were arrested on burglary and theft charges late last month. On May 25th, 29-year-old Justin Jacobs of Atlantic was arrested for burglary in the second degree, theft in the third degree, and interference with official acts. On May 28th, 38-year-old Michael Parrott of Atlantic was arrested for burglary in the second degree and criminal mischief in the fourth degree. On May 30th, 32-year-old Aaron Inken of Atlantic was arrested for criminal mischief in the third degree, first offense trespassing, disorderly conduct, simple assault, and criminal transmission of an infectious disease to another. On June 1st, 37-year-old Donald Caterett of Atlantic was arrested for OWI and interference with official acts. June 4th, 28-year-old Jade Nicholson of Atlantic was arrested for carrying a weapon. The following day, 39-year-old Mark Cantow of Atlantic was arrested for public intoxication and disorderly conduct. On Thursday, June 6th, 37-year-old Chad Wilcox of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for OWI. And 39-year-old Mark Cantow of Atlantic was arrested for public intoxication and domestic abuse assault first offense. Each of those suspects were booked into the Cass County Jail. The Iowa Board of Corrections voted on Friday in support of the appointment of Stephen Weiss as the next warden of the Clarinda Correctional Facility in Clarinda. His appointment was recommended to the board by an internal department hiring committee. Weiss will replace former warden Randy Gibbs, who was selected as the warden for the Iowa State Penitentiary in April. Weiss has served as the deputy warden of CCF since December of 2015, and he's got a more than 31-year career in corrections with the Nebraska Department of Corrections that he started in 1987 and then moving over to Iowa. Forecasters say Iowa may have cooler than normal temperatures and much less rainfall throughout June. That may sound great, but not if you're a farmer. Rains will diminish over the coming weeks, and other signs of summer may be lacking. Meteorologist Dennis Toddy, director of the USDA's Midwest Climate Hub in Ames, says the rainy spell we've been enduring for months is now over.
For once in quite a while, most of our region is free of expected big rainfalls.
Still, that doesn't mean there won't be rain on Iowans' parades. Toddy says there will be plenty of opportunities for showers, thunderstorms, and for more flooding.
Much of our region still has chances for storms. They're going to be spottier and less effective in the way of big precipitation. We don't have a lot of capacity in much of our hydrologic system in the soils and the rivers, so even minor rainfall amounts can cause some problems.
According to forecast models, Toddy says much of the month ahead will be cooler than usual and may not bring Iowa's acres of corn and soybeans the warmth they need to mature.
June is one time when above-average temperatures would help spur some more development and accumulate some more degree days without reaching those stressful mid to upper 80s on a regular basis. But instead of having above-average temperatures, we're likely to have below-average temperatures throughout almost all of our region. It will be pleasant from a human standpoint and at a livestock standpoint, but from a standpoint of crops, it's not good news.
Summer arrives 2 weeks from today. Toddy says the effects of the ongoing El Nino pattern will be felt well into fall.
June is one time when above...
And in other news, Iowa Agriculture Secretary Mike Nag says the long-awaited passage of a federal disaster relief bill is good news for Iowa farmers. President Trump on Thursday signed the $19 billion package designed to assist victims of several recent disasters, including Iowa flooding. Nag says the bill helps Iowans in a couple of areas.
It brings much-needed support for our recovery efforts in the flooded area there in southwest Iowa. And so whether it's levee repair or funds that farmers need to help remove the debris from their fields or providing some compensation for damaged grain, we know that those are very, very important things for our producers as they recover and then get back on their feet and hopefully can be productive again next year or in future years.
Nag says the bill also provides for USDA assistance for farmers who are unable to plant crops this year because of swamp fields, though questions still remain.
We don't know what that looks like yet. It certainly can apply to those areas that are flooded, but we are wondering and asking whether it can also apply to folks who have taken prevent plant in other parts of the state as well. So those are some question marks. But it is much-needed support for our flood recovery efforts.
Nag says statistics compiled by his office indicate the losses incurred by Iowa farmers during the spring's record flooding are staggering.
You've got 100,000 acres that have been impacted in Pottawatomie, Fremont, and Mills counties. And then we did an assessment of how much grain had been damaged. And that number comes to right around 1.9 million bushels of corn and about a half a million bushels of soybean.
An assessment was also done on how much grain in storage was impacted, and again, he says it was millions of bushels ruined due to the floodwaters. The Ag Secretary says it all adds up to an economic disaster for producers. Nag also expresses concern about lingering issues associated with the flooding.
I keep saying this, you just lost your 2018 crop. You're not able to plant the 2019 crop, and really your 2020 crop is in question, given how much water is still remaining. So this is really economically a tough pill to swallow for a lot of folks.
In other news, the Iowa Supreme Court has denied a request by the attorney for former Iowa Governor Terry Branstad to stop a civil trial in which Branstad is accused of discrimination against a gay former state workers' compensation commissioner. Branstad and two former staffers were sued by Christopher Godfrey, who was pressured to quit after Branstad took over as governor in 2010 and received a pay cut. Godfrey claims it was because he's gay. Branstad denies he knew that Godfrey is gay. An 8-person jury is hearing the case in Polk County District Court. Branstad attorney Frank Hardy claims the trial judge is allowing Godfrey to put Branstad's and the Iowa Republican Party's anti-gay views on trial, violating their free speech rights. Supreme Court Justice Thomas Waterman on Friday denied the request to stop the trial. And just in time for the summer growing season, the Master Gardener Program with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach is planning 3 1-hour-long educational webcasts on the second Tuesday of the month, June through August. Gardeners and plant enthusiasts will be able to learn about pollinators, perennial plant combinations, and answers to frequently asked gardening questions at no cost. Cass County Extension Program Coordinator Kate Olson says the summer webinars have been very popular with the public.
State Master Gardener Program offers these annually, and it's a great way to get local experts or get statewide experts into your local extension office, if you will. So we're hosting these sessions at our Cass County Extension office, but it's presentations by statewide experts on specific gardening topics, and they're all very timely topics. I'm kind of excited about all the topics that they're offering this summer. So it's a great way for people who are interested in learning about gardening to come find out more about timely topics and very specific topics that they're interested in.
Some of those topics will be Give Your Garden Wings, Gardening FAQ, and Ecology Plus Diversity. And those are free programs with no pre-registration required. If you'd like more info, contact their office at 712-243-1132, or you can email keolson@iastate.edu. That's a look at some of the latest in news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Ava Simpson, age 79, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Ava Simpson will be held today at 10 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic has arrangements. John Michael Klein, age 104, of Harlan, died Sunday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. Mass of Christian burial for John M. Klein will be held today at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Marlene K. Wiley, age 74, of Mesa, Arizona, formerly of the Lyman and Macedonia areas, died January 16th. A memorial graveside service for Marlene Wiley will be held today at 11 a.m. at St. John's Cemetery south of Lyman. Reagan Funeral Home Griswold has arrangements. Irma Elvira Meyer, age 100, of Wislaco, Texas, formerly of Atlantic, died April 12th. A memorial service for Irma Meyer will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. at the Lincoln Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery in Lincoln, Nebraska. Joe Wagner, age 69, of Atlantic, died May 31st at the Methodist Hospital in Omaha. A Celebration of Life memorial service for Joe Wagner will be held Monday at 10 a.m. at the Evangelical Free Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic has arrangements. Gene Schiller, age 77, of Des Moines, died Wednesday at University Park in Des Moines. Graveside funeral services with full military rights for Gene Schiller will be held Monday at 1 p.m. at the Dalmanutha Cemetery in rural Casey. A Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Hilmer Eugene Mathis, age 90, formerly of Griswold, died April 30th at CCMH in Atlantic. A memorial service for Hilmer Mathis will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at Reagan Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. John Roscoe, age 64, of Corcoran, Minnesota, and formerly of Atlantic, died Wednesday at home. Graveside services for John Roscoe will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Gerald V. Wilson, age 82, of Oakland, died May 31st in Des Moines. Funeral services for Gerald Wilson will be held Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Oakland United Methodist Church in Oakland. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Galen Red Sorensen, age 82, of Harlan, died Thursday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. All services for Galen Red Sorensen are private. Polly Jones Funeral Home has arrangements. Nancy A. Dreyer, age 70, of Hamlin, died Wednesday at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. Per her wishes, cremation has taken place, and memorial services for Nancy Dreyer will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. And Cheryl A. Campbell, age 77, of Irwin, died Thursday at Methodist Jenny Emerson Hospital. Services for Cheryl A. Campbell are currently pending with Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. That's your news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.